Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Welcome to this broadcast of La Dolce Vita, a four-part series for creating the life you want. My name is Lifcona Whitestreak, and I've served the community of women for over 20 years as a women-centered director, legal advocate, case manager, group counselor, and lobbyist for women's issues. I also provide personal and professional development coaching. I have to add that I've also had some questionable times in my life, let's say. And what got me through it was introspection and then transformation. These are some of the things that we'll get into in our later episodes. However, today is December 9th, and we're going to begin with Module 1. We're going to call it Great Expectations. So, grab a cup of tea or coffee, get comfortable, and let's get started. So welcome back. I hope you're comfy. As I said, this is La Dolce Vita, and this is a series for creating the life that you want. The next four episodes are about developing the tools to make having a good life the main course, as opposed to a side dish. So, in this first episode, Module 1, we'll call it, it's Great Expectations, and we're going to set meaningful goals to feel more positive about the world around us. And at the end, you're going to take the La Dolce Vita quiz and start mapping your quest. Now, if you want to call in and have a chat with me, feel free to do so at 213-943-3820. You can also drop me a line to receive quizzes and other materials from the show. Now, let's focus on neutralizing the past and enjoying the present so that you can create your future. What exactly does that mean, to neutralize the past? Well, in my opinion, to actually neutralize the past, it means to not necessarily to get over it, but to recognize that it is actually your past. And for whatever reason it happened, and you know, maybe things didn't go as you planned, or there were certain events that were really, really trying or difficult, you're here now, today, this moment. This is your time. Now you can continue to let it hold you back, or you can build on it. You can look at, what have I learned from that? You know, what new perspective have I gained from that particular situation? And grow from that. It's not about, oh, just get over it. It's not about that. It's about moving forward. And in that same vein, moving forward to enjoying the present. You know, what's good about your situation now? What are you really digging? You know, it could be something as simple as a new nail polish that you've discovered, a new friend that you've made, maybe you've fallen in love, maybe you've just found the perfect cookie recipe, like I did yesterday, but that's another story. It could be anything that brings you joy. Celebrate that. Enjoy the present. And as you're enjoying the present, you can think more creatively about your future and actually plan for what it's going to look like. It's not necessarily about getting the perfect amount in your 401k or anything like that, but it's just about recognizing that you do have a future that you can control to some degree. You're not just a hapless victim in the wind. You know, you can plan for it. Remember, life's journey is all about knowing what you're working with and what you're going to do with it. The creative decision making is the key. You can take immediate action to fine-tune your work-life balance by thinking from the right place. And what I mean by from the right place, it means that most life-changing decisions are usually fear-based. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of being alone. We're afraid of being laughed at or not being taken seriously. However, you can begin to consider options that affect your quality of life from a more relaxed and creative perspective. You know, I mean, it's easy for others to say, well, why do you care what people think? If you do, deal with it. You know, own it. Okay, I really do care what people think. Why is that? Or what can I do about that? Or how can I influence others' opinions of me? Am I able to influence others' opinions of me? Why would I want to do that? The main question that I would ask myself if I really cared about what people think, because I don't, but if I did, I would ask, does this person love me? Are they willing to kick in on my welfare? And I don't necessarily mean financially, but are they vested in my success in this life? And if they're not, why would I really give thought to how they think or feel about anything affecting my life? You should really get into that. Like I said before, introspection and transformation is what got me through. Maybe that could help you as well. When we think about introspection, it means to review your core values, perform a needs analysis, define your comfort zone, and then proceed to work it out. Like, what am I really doing? Why am I doing this? You know, what is my value system? And why have I chosen this as the way to go? If it works for you, it's great. Continue that and see how you can build on what works for you. But if your value system has not worked for you, meaning is your life not exactly the way that you planned, or do you feel differently about yourself and your surroundings or your family than you want to? What can you do about it? Is it because of your value system or because of bad decision making? You know, this is where the needs analysis comes in. And you know what? A lot of us underestimate the need for a comfort zone. I used to. I don't anymore. But I make being comfortable a priority. Not just like we're sitting right now, very comfortable with a nice cup of lavender tea, listening to the soothing voice of the quiet storm. I've always wanted to do that. It's not just about the physical comfort, but the mental comfort of knowing that you're in a place, whether it be work, recreation, family gatherings, you're in a place where you are accepted and you feel like you're a part of your environment. There are people there who do have a vested interest in your success on this planet. It matters if you're happy or unhappy, or if you're successful. You know, they're willing to kick in and provide you that support and encouragement. That is what I mean by comfort. And then the transformation. Once you get to the point where you've examined things and you've kind of outlined, you know, what you're working with and what direction you want to go, how do you begin to move forward? How do you create and enforce your boundaries? Find balance. What is balance to you? That is a totally subjective term, balance. And I know we throw that around a lot, you know, find the balance in your life. It's really not a simple thing. You have to find the balance that works for you. And I think acknowledging deal breakers is critical. It means, okay, you know, when certain things go down that are absolutely unacceptable, are you comfortable calling it? Do you say, okay, this isn't working for me, we got to do something else? Regardless of the person that you're speaking with and the situation, are you comfortable defending yourself and just saying, I don't agree? And if not, why not? Is it because, yes, I need my job and my boss is going to freak out if I say no? Is it because, you know, the person I'm in love with won't agree and they may leave me? Is it because my children won't obey? You know, you have to examine, why is that? And in each of those situations, what are you prepared to do if you get a negative response? And just call it, see what happens. And then you can get on to setting your priorities, and thus the transformation takes place. What do you think about that? So I encourage you to call in again at 213-943-3820. I'm really interested to know what you think of this first part of our episode, the information, the sound of the quiet storm, and anything else you might be willing to contribute to our fabulous four-part series on La Dolce Vita, the sweet life. Okay, so the next part of our show today, I want to get into the La Dolce Vita quiz. And this is a true or false kind of thing. I'm not going to read all 15 questions. If you like, I can email them to you. And you can see my email information through the website for Blog Talk Radio. One of the first questions that they ask, or that I ask on this quiz, is kind of strange, but it says, I find myself spending more and more time on work-related projects. Now, this is about a work-life balance. So how much of your daily life do you give to your job? You know, and when you come home, and if you have children, or if you have other people at home waiting for you, pets or whomever, are you preoccupied with work when you're doing things with your loved ones? You know, so you can ask, do you find yourself spending more and more time on work-related projects? Do you feel like, this is question number two, do you often feel like you don't have time for yourself or for your family or friends? This is, you know, time for yourself or your loved ones. No matter what you do, it seems that every minute of your day, someone or something wants a piece of. So you're always on. You never have downtime. Like even right now, as we're sitting here and you're listening to the broadcast, are you looking at something else? Are you multitasking? Because we live in the age of multitasking with all of the technology and the telephones that fly and cook and change diapers and all that stuff. Are you doing that or are you listening to me? I need to know. You know, are you able to just stop, turn off, and focus on one thing that you really want to do? So, question number four. Sometimes do you feel like you've lost sight of who you are and why you chose the particular career that you're in or the particular job that you have? Many times we choose our careers because they choose us. You know, we got the job offer, we're going to take the job, we're going to work, pay rent, and eat. I can dig it. Most of us are in that situation, but there are those of us, like me, I've been fortunate enough to choose my poison, as it were. And if you're in a position where you've been able to choose your career, have you lost sight of why you chose it? And if so, what are you prepared to do about it? Question number five. This is interesting. So, can you remember the last time you were able to find the time to take a day off for something fun just for you? Just because you feel like doing it. It doesn't mean that, okay, I have a day off, so I'm going to take the kids to the museum because they want to see this exhibit, or I want to take my husband or my wife somewhere, or, you know, just because you want to do it. This is really funny. Last week, I went to the movies. And I saw the Charlie Brown movie. I was absolutely delighted. And I went because I really wanted to see it. I went with someone who I wanted to go with. But it was really selfish because I wanted to see it and it was very serious. I even took a picture with the display in the theater. This is how good it was to me. But I make a point of doing things on my off time that I really enjoy. One of my latest pastimes, like over the last few months, and this is a strange combination, there's a really nice restaurant that I like, and they serve very good red wine and sweet potato French fries. So I go in there, and I always order a glass of red wine and sweet potato French fries. When I first did it, they looked like, what is she doing? Who orders stuff like that? But now when I walk in, I get a very nice hello, and they understand that, okay, this is her moment to shine. She is taking care of herself, and this lady is really digging this wine and these sweet potato French fries. So I do things like that for myself. I hope that you have something like that that you do. Question number 6, do you feel stressed most of the time? Number 7, can you remember the last time you used all of your vacation and personal days? This is a big one. Most people don't use their vacation time for whatever reason. I don't know if your job offers you paid or unpaid vacation or if that's a concern, but a lot of people don't use their off time. And if you don't, maybe you should look at why you don't. Is it because you don't have anything to do, or because you can't afford to, or, you know. So think about that. Let's see. Number 8. Does it sometimes feel like you can't even catch your breath before you move on to the next project or crisis? This brings to mind something. There's a term I used to use about 15 years ago, struggle mode. I felt I was living in struggle mode. It means that I always felt like I was struggling, even when I was successful, even at the height of my career, when I was making the money I wanted to make, I was in the social circles I wanted to be in, I was rocking and rolling, but I still felt like I was struggling, and I don't know why I did that to myself. One day I decided not to. Basically, I decided that I was tired. I don't know if it was burnout or I don't know, but I stopped. First, I acknowledged that I was in struggle mode and I had to call it. Secondly, I think probably the main reason I don't live like that anymore is because I had a circle of friends who loved me and who also recognized that I was just living hard, unnecessarily so. Anyway, so do you feel like you can catch your breath before you move on to the next project or crisis? If you feel like you're just running, we've all heard the expression, like a rat on a wheel. You know, the little hamster in the circle. That is one of the most depressing images I've ever seen. Never had a pet like that. I didn't like the idea. Anyway, if that's you, number 8, hey, think about that. Can you remember the last time you read and finished a book that you were reading purely for pleasure? I have to admit that there are quite a few books that I've read several times, and this is like my escape. One of them is The Far Pavilions by MMK, and it is one of those epic 1,000-page historical novels with heroes and damsels in distress and just, you know, pestilence and just stuff. Love that book. I've been reading that book for at least the last 20 years. I read it maybe every 5 years. And every time I get something new out of it. And this is what I mean about the good life, you know, the sweet life, la dolce vita. Doing stuff that you really want. Creating the type of life that you really want. So in my world, I want to be able to sit and read and just be me whenever I feel like it. So if you're in a position where you can't read purely for pleasure without your mind being thrown in other directions, if you're able to reexamine that, do. If not, focus on what is distracting you from enjoying your life and just get down with it. We all have to work because I think most of us have become accustomed to eating and living indoors. So working is a necessary evil, you know. So if we take work out of the equation, what else is there? Interesting. What else is there? So at this point, I want to invite you again to call in and speak with your lovely host, Liv Kona, at 213-943-3820. So I only got up to number 9 in the La Dolce Vita quiz, and I would like for you to email me and let me know if you would like the full quiz, and just take a look at it and tell me what you think. I'll also send you the entire workbook from the La Dolce Vita workshop. It discusses setting boundaries, taking action, and a couple of other useful tools to help you get into the life that you want. Something for you to remember, or let's say food for thought. Change is most lasting when it's built on small, positive habits. Start with baby steps today, and you'll be on your way to building practices that make for a happier, more productive tomorrow. Yes, sounds like a cliche. I can dig it. but it really makes sense. Start small, think big. And I think the meet cute. A meet cute is a scene in film, television, etc., in which a future romantic couple meets for the first time in a way that is considered adorable, entertaining, or amusing. The term has existed since at least the early 1940s. So, ladies, and my men friends too, I've finally done it. I met the perfect guy. It was such a spectacular meet-cute too. So, it was in the middle of an afternoon rainstorm, of course. I had just treated myself to a good lunch accompanied by a nice Pinot with a hint of lavender. I had a few minutes before my bus was due, so I did a bit of shopping downtown. By the time I got all my stuff, it was late, so I had to run for the bus. Four bags, my purse, and a big umbrella during a windy rainstorm normally would spell disaster. Howsoever, the universe aligned and made me bump into him. Like I said, I was running for the bus when I came around a corner and bumped into someone tall, solid, and fine as hell. He was on the phone. He stopped talking. I stopped moving. And then, voila, meet cute. I actually giggled. He smiled and said, "I really hope you're single," with a nice mellow baritone. I eyeballed all 6'2" of him and said, "Why would that be your business?" as I continued toward my bus. I got to the bus stop, and of course, it's late. I deposit my packages on the bench and start talking to the folks already there waiting. Then I heard, "Please, didn't mean no disrespect." He was back. I stood and said, "Don't worry about it. I'm not upset. It's just that you're so pretty. I had to talk to you," he purred. I smiled. "I love your smile," he observed. I kept smiling like a damn fool. "Would you have a problem dating an older man?" he wanted to know. I smiled again and said, "How old are you?" 38, he answered. I stifled a laugh. "I am much older than you, sweetie." "Really? He stutters. "I'm 48, I say. "Wow. You're so pretty, I can't tell. And it doesn't matter anyway," he said as he touched my arm. "I know," I say. He asked, "Can I give you my number?" "You can have mine," I replied. He smiled, raised an eyebrow on that very rugged, handsome face, and took out his smartphone. I gave him the number. "Is this your home or cell?" he wanted to know. "It's my home number." Another smile, and the other eyebrow went up. "Thanks, Sabrina," he purred again. "What's your name?" I asked. "Griff." He reached for my hand, and we kind of shook and held hands while I waited for the bus. I totally forgot about the other folks at the bus stop, and he wasn't giving a damn either. We stood there like two fools sharing a magic moment in the rain. It was so sweet. I haven't felt magic since, that's another story. Anyway, eventually we come to our senses, and he starts to move away. Still holding my hand, he says, "I'll call you later, Sabrina." "Okay," I replied. I sat back down to wait for the bus, and he disappeared. When I finally get home, I settle in and notice that I have a message. It was actually a missed call from a local number. I called it. He answered. "Hi, Sabrina. You made it home okay." "Oh, it's you," I said. "I saw a missed call, and I wanted to know who it was." "What a nice surprise that it was you, Griff." We spoke for a moment about our meet-cute, laughed a bit, and agreed to speak the next day. The call. Well, it started off well, I thought. "What type of man are you looking for?" he asked. "Actually, I'm not looking for anyone. My life is quite nice these days," I said. He laughed. "Okay," he said. "So, tell me about you," I said. "Are you looking for a woman in your life?" Now, why the f*** did I ask that? Way to ruin a moment. So, this was his answer. He just got kicked out of the mission, a.k.a. homeless shelter he was staying in, because he got into it with some other cat. "Where do you live?" he asked. "In town," I slowly said. He went on to say he wants a woman who can handle her business. And he went into a vulgar explanation on what he actually meant, everything and anything that he could think of. Because, in his own words, he don't see no point in wasting time with a woman who don't know her priorities. I was howling inside my head. This was so fascinating. "Oh yeah, Ed. He's also looking for a monogamous relationship with a woman who he can be friends with and get what he needs when he needs it." I'm still giggling in my head as he's saying this. You know, he had to say that to make me comfortable with the fact that his homeless, broke-down, uneducated, misogynist, probably disease-ridden ass has absolutely nothing to offer a fine sister like me except friggin' drama. Whew. I feel so sorry for these women out here looking for love. This fool had no qualms about telling me he was a homeless, you know, with no ambition and nothing to offer. But he expected a la carte butt-booty nakedness. Fascinating. This is a true story. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed this first installment of the four-part series, La Dolce Vita, Create the Life You Want. The second installment will be on Saturday, December 12th. Contact me to receive the print materials from today's episode. I do want to take this time to give a shout-out to my girl, Natalie. Natalie is amazing in that over the last few years that I've known her, she is really moving forward. It's a pleasure to watch someone on a mission towards a better life. It's inspiring even. I've learned a lot from this amazing woman living in Paris, from how to eat better, to the truth of Sade's music, to how to moonwalk. Natalie has shared a lot with me, and I'm really digging her for that. So, my good people, if there's someone who has inspired you or made you smile, even in the smallest way, let them know. It matters that they matter. So, see you on December 12th. Bye!